Hey everybody, all you builders out there, we are on our way to Unpub right now. This is Jason here. I'm all in the car with me. I've also got Jason Gutarski and Andy Lennox.
Hey.
Hey, what's up, dudes?
Hey, builders. You ready to build?
We are currently driving through somewhere in Maryland?
Yeah. Boonesboro. I just saw that on the sign.
And there's a mountain to the left of us that's rather mountainous and has a rock face on it. There's a rock face on the top. Look.
I thought you meant like an actual face.
Like Mount Rushmore. You're confused about which direction we were headed.
Unpub is in Montana, right?
Whoops.
So, hey, guys, we just thought while we were driving here, we'd talk a little bit about why we were going to Unpub. Now, on the show, I've talked a ton about why I'm going on to Unpub, and nobody cares anyway. So, let's find out why you guys are going to Unpub.
That's a good question, Jason. Let's kick it over to Jason Gutarski.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be on. Long-time listener, second-time caller. I don't know. Anyway, I had a game that was published at the end of 2012 called The Great Heartland Hall & Company, and it gave me the bug to design games, so I've been working away at games, and I have a couple other games that are, one's been published with Sprocket Games called Frog Flip, another one's been on the way with White Goblin Games, and I have a slew of other prototypes that are in different levels of completion, and just thought this would be a great way to reconnect with some of my friends I've met at conventions who were publishers and gamers and designers and kind of share ideas. But mostly what happened is my friend Andy here lives near me, and I live in Flint, Michigan, and he lives in one of the surrounding areas. We had a game night that we were playing together at regularly, and he had this idea for a mechanic, and we started bouncing ideas around, and we thought, hey... Andy said, let's do this, man. Let's just not talk about it. Let's make a game. And I'm like, and I just had a really cool experience. I got into game design because it was a solo process that was a lot of fun. And I was like, hey, working with other people might be interesting. So I worked on a game with Philip DeBerry. And then I just kind of was wrapping that up. But Andy said, let's make a game. And I'm like, yeah, let's do that. So then we bounced around some more ideas. And I came with the idea that, hey, in about 4 months... Unpub is in Delaware in January, so it's the Unpublished Game Festival where we'll get to, you know, test games and play games and pitch games to publishers and kind of get a cool experience for a board game. So why don't we make that our goal? Like, let's register it for a table, and then we have a deadline to kind of get this game together. And we went to work and designed a game called that we're calling Ohalo. So it's been a really cool process, and we feel like it's in a pretty good place, where we're definitely ready to like show it to some more folks outside of our circle of friends.
Yeah, like Jason said, I started attending game nights, and I'd like all you other builders out there, I too am a longtime listener, and I've always wanted to make a game and never knew quite how to do it, and never got anything past scribbles in a notebook, and saw Jason doing it. Like, I know Jason from way back, and he was doing it and putting games out and just getting out there, and
so we decided to ride my coattails to glory.
So I'm riding his coattails to glory. We're gonna be 100 heirs. So I jumped the gun and went and did Unpub without almost any game design knowledge whatsoever. So, you know, do things you're uncomfortable with, live the dream.
Hey, not to interrupt, but apparently there's a nerd driving in front of us based on his license plate, which says God O War.
The coolest part about that is it's a Mercedes. Yeah.
It's a battle Mercedes.
We should get a closer look at the driver if we can.
Yes.
So, Jason Slingerland, what are you bringing to Unpub today?
Mostly just some swagger and a lot of charisma. No, really, yeah, I know. Thanks for the laugh, guys. There, that's great. No, not much. I've got a couple games I'm bringing, specifically Transylvania Trading Company, which I've talked a lot about on the show, and then also The Beat in the Street, or as you guys have told me I should rename it, Sucka MCs.
Sucka MCs is so good.
It tells a story.
And we got to play it last night, actually. We had a good time, and you guys gave me some great feedback, and I'm able to make some tweaks in the game before Unpub, which is going to be awesome.
Yeah, it's neat. It's like it's right in between this place of like a casual trick taking game meets party game with the ridiculous theme of rapping, and it worked pretty well. Like, and it was fun. We laughed. It was late, so that was like the ideal setting. We've been on the road for 4 hours, and we pull it out and had a good go of it.
Anything that you can, any game you can pull out and possibly get my grandma to rap would be excellent. So if we can lean on the party game aspect of it, I really would love to get that on YouTube.
I would love that too.
So, and then me and Jason Kotarski brought, like he said, Ohalo, which is a, how do you describe Ohalo?
Well, it is a worker placement game where you are an action selection slash worker placement game where you are kind of using a forest to kind of meet the needs of your tribe and kind of build up your civilization. Make sure people are eating, hunting for animals for glory, kind of building huts to learn new skills. But it all was built around this really cool idea. Andy has this neat thing where he comes together with a mechanic and he says, "I have this really cool idea." And he's like, "There it is." And I'm like, "Well, you should make that a game." and it's just like something lazy. And I tend to move that direction. I'm like, "How do we get points? How do we score? Like, where are we going with this?" He's like, "I don't know. I just like to do this with the cards." And the mechanic is this really neat thing. We'll give it away. It's called, what did we name this mechanic? Do we have a name for this cool mechanic?
Oh, no. We need to come up with something really catchy. I feel like that's in Slingerland's house.
Yeah.
We gotta get you to name our mechanic.
Well, we try it today. I'll do my best.
Awesome. So you take a deck of cards which represent the forest. On the back, there are forest, like the trees are showing. And then the other side, on some of those cards, most of those cards, there's a hidden something, either a berry patch or mushrooms or nuts or an animal. So what you do is you take that deck, you shuffle it, you flip half of it over, like you cut the deck, flip it, you drop it on the table, and spread it out into a big, messy pile of cards. And he's like, "So that's what I want to do." Like, we had played, what were we playing? We played some Flower Fall, and we played some Maximum Throwdown, and it was this idea of, like, okay, you do this cool, different thing with physically manipulating cards. So how else could we do this? And Andy came up with this idea, and I'm like, "That sounds good." And he said, "I think you should have something to do with foraging, where you move these cards around looking for things."
Right.
So from then on, I was like, "Yeah, that's a really cool idea." And it's fun, and it's messy. And the best part that we like about it is, like, it feels like a Euro game, but it has this kind of messy, uncontrolled, kind of ambiguous part to the game that will probably drive some people a little crazy if they're really into, like, the neat, clean design. Because this, like, the best part of the game is that you are, like, essentially moving this nasty mess of pile of cards all around, looking for what you want and getting the best stuff you can from the forest.
Yeah.
Cool. Sounds like fun.
Strategy is to look at this giant, horrible mess of cards all over the table and understand, like, what's available and what is not available to you. And since there's secret action selection, you're kind of trying to figure out, okay, there's only so many berries available, so I know I'm not going to be able to get berries because I'm not first player this turn. Or you see a lot of animals, so you want to select hunting a lot, but you know that other people are going to be competing for the same animals, and there's only so many animals in the game. So there's a lot of, like, assessing what's on the board and then reading the people that you're playing with as well. That's the kind of stuff I like to do, is where you're playing more than just the game, you're playing the other players. But that's what I'm into.
Awesome.
Yeah. So what else are you bringing, Andy? What's your other title that you're working on?
So I've got a game called Islands in the Sky, and it started off, I had this other game that I was working on that I just couldn't get to work. It was a martial arts fighting game, and it never came together. Like Jason said, it was a bunch of really neat mechanics that didn't amount to any game. How do you win this game? I don't know. I just like to play the cards like this, you know. So I couldn't get it to do anything, and I started over, and I said, I need something else for Unpub. I don't need something, but I want something else for Unpub. What can I do? So I looked at some games like Machikoro, which is getting really popular, and Settlers of, like, Settlers of Catan and that kind of mechanic where you just roll and collect resources and see what happens. So I started with that premise of just rolling some dice and collecting some resources and building some things. And it slowly, like, after iteration and iteration after iteration of cards, I ended up, like, completely throwing that idea in the toilet.
That's what you have to do sometimes.
Yeah. And now it's a, it's like a Yahtzee mechanic where you roll up actions and you're flying a ship around through
Stay on the road there, Jake.
You're flying a flying ship through floating islands and exploring different islands and collecting resources and delivering them to different markets and trying to control certain islands. And some islands have adventures where you have to roll specific things. And it is a mess. It barely works. But, like, right before Unpub, I got it to the point where it's sort of fun to play. So you know, I'm jumping off into the deep end before I really know what I'm doing with this one. But I think there's definitely a seed there that I'm really happy with. And I think Unpub is going to be great because I'll be able to really hone it and play it with a lot of people who I would never get a chance to show it to otherwise. I'm going to get a lot of great feedback out here and a lot of ideas of where to go with it, because I think I'm really confused on where the fun is in this game. Like, I like the rolling dice and selecting actions and exploring through the deck and figuring out your flight plan. There's a bunch of things that I like, but I have all these, you know, grandiose ideas, and it's hard to rein those in. It's hard to decide, like, what to cut and what to keep when you like everything, because you like everything you do.
It's golden.
Yeah, everything I do is amazing. But so it's going to be great to have, you know, that have people who know a lot more than me and know what they're doing say, this is where the fun is. This is what you should focus on. And that's what I'm looking to get out of it for this game. Ohalo's in a much better place, like, as far as being a finished game, and I think that's ready for the world to see. But Islands in the Sky is, I really just want to get some feedback. I want people to tell me, like, what they like about it. So.
Sweet. Sounds awesome.
Well, yeah, I got a few others that I'm bringing. Fidelitas that I designed with Philip DeBerry. We're kind of, I just want to kind of get some more feedback on that, play it with some more folks now. It's been through a lot of changes, but that's a fun one that is... It's raring to go, and I'm bringing an expansion, kind of standalone game that I've been working on for Heartland Holland. So I don't know where that'll go, but it's a dice based game. So it's kind of a 5 or 6 dice in a score sheet is the base game, and then there's, you can use those dice instead of the deck of a card to play in the base game, and it's pretty cool. It's been a fun game. I have a little micro game called Dead Drop. It's a spy kind of. You're trying to gather information. It's a little bit of deductions. Chris Kirkman played it and said it reminded him of, like, a mini Clue kind of a game. So I'm still working on some of that stuff. And I have a... What's the other one I have with me? I have a bunch with
Sunset
me.
Oh,
yeah, Sunset Shuffle. It's a speed dice game where you're a family trying to have a blast and get the best seat on the beach to watch the sunset. But the lifeguard doesn't want you to have too much fun and, you know, like, cause too much ruckus, so he slows you down. But it's just a quick kind of get your heart beating game that has to do with some visual discrimination of the dice and putting them on the beach spots and kind of trying to not let the leader get too far ahead by sticking them with the lifeguard die. But so that one's been going pretty well. That one came together pretty quickly, and I'm looking forward to seeing that with a full group. I've never played it with a full group of 5 before, so yeah, I'm excited about Unpub. I think it'll be cool to catch up with friends and see what other people are doing and get some feedback on games. And just being a creative person in this creative environment is always, like, energizing and inspiring. And sometimes it makes you feel a little bit small, like, my ideas aren't as cool as that guy's ideas, but that's something we have to just grow and get over. And as creatives, is, like, it's not about comparing, but it's just about doing what you do and the way you do it and seeing where it goes.
Excellent. All right, guys. Well, we'll make sure to check back in several times while we're at Unpub. All right, bye.
Word.
Later.
Hey, builders. I'm here with Scott King, the official photographer of Unpub 4. And he's been here taking thousands and thousands of pictures based on the number of pictures I've seen you snapping. So how's it going?
It's going good. Playing lots of games, shooting lots of things.
Cool, cool. There's lots and lots of games to see here. So lots of stuff to get pictures of, I assume. You've been here for a few days. You were here to help set up ahead of time, I think.
Yeah, I'm actually from this area. I recently moved to Texas, so I came back early so I could see friends and family, and then help Daryl set up, and then work the con, and then I'll be here a few more days later too.
Cool. So you've been at previous Unpubs?
I went to Unpub last year. It was my first experience.
Okay. And I've heard this one was a lot bigger, a lot more attendance than last year.
Yeah, it grew not just in designers, but also playtesters, which is a good thing. I think we completely filled the hall, and it worked well for this year.
Awesome. And I know that you've got a calendar that you donated a few copies of for mm-hmm. the free raffles, which was very nice of you. Tell me about that. I haven't seen it yet. I just keep seeing that Daryl holds it up and says, and a calendar from Scott King. So
right. When we moved to Texas, I lost my calendar, and I really wanted a new calendar. And I was like, hey, I'm a geek. I should have a game board calendar. Well, there aren't any. So I went ahead and decided, hey,
to just make one.
I'm going to go ahead and make one. So that's what I did. I kickstarted it, went out to backers in December, and then at the end of December, I actually managed to sell more copies, I guess, for Christmas gifts than we made through the Kickstarter. So it was awesome.
It is awesome.
I'm very happy with it. Everyone seems happy with it. Still available. Go to my site, scottking.info. Look for the little logo.
Cool. What are some of the games? Is it specific games featured in there, or is
if you're a Kickstarter backer, you get an option of either getting a base calendar, which I picked all the photos, mm-hmm. or you got a custom calendar, which you got to pick from 48 photos.
Oh wow, cool. Well, that's neat. That's neat. And it's just of different games?
Yeah, I mean, we there's some basics. One, they're like, ooh, chess and checkers, but we have King of Tokyo, Arkham Horror.
Oh, cool.
Catan, Pandemic. You know, it's really cool. A big spanse of gamery games to light games to just well-known games.
Cool, cool. And I have to thank you, too, personally, because you you brought your mom came, and mm-hmm. With some friends, even. And I got them to play test the beat on the street. And at first they were nervous. I could tell they weren't sure that they what you were getting them into. But they were laughing and having a good time and rapping. Mm-hmm. It was very good. And it was cool because it showed me that, you know, more than just people, you know, like gamer age people, more so the average, right, are interested in it. So that was really cool. So thank you for bringing them along.
Well, they enjoyed it, and my mom really likes rapping, so it all worked out.
That's awesome. Yeah, I saw they've been playing a lot of games around here. Mm-hmm. So that's great. That's great. Have you gotten to play anything?
I played a few things. It's hard because Daryl really wanted me to go through and make sure I get at least one photo of every designer's game.
That's great.
So I've been trying to focus on getting as many of those and only played a few here and there.
Cool, yeah, that's got to be a tough job because everybody's moving about.
Everyone's moving about, yeah. Right? Or, you know, their game's set up, but it's not the game they actually want me to shoot, so they say come back later. But
right.
When I come back later, they're in the middle of a game, so they don't want me interrupting. And so it's been fun, but like, oh my gosh, I got to get this done.
Right, right.
I'm playing my own game here.
Right, yeah, the game of getting all the photos.
Right, right.
Cool. Hey, I'm really glad that you're a part of this. It's really cool to have somebody here really documenting it. So I know Daryl's beefed up the website mm-hmm. and everything on there, so this would be a great addition, I'm sure, to have to that. So, cool. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, builders out there. We are here talking to Chris and Suzanne Zinsley from Cardboard Edison. They are here for their second Unpub.
Yes.
Second Unpub. So last year you guys were here, and you infamously or famously sold Tessin to Van Ryder Games, which came out not too long ago. It's an awesome game. Went on Kickstarter, did really well. So,
thanks.
Yeah. So you guys having a good time this time around?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. The environment is just great, and so good to see people that we only see, you know, a couple times a year. It's been totally fantastic.
Yeah. If there's anything wrong with the weekend, it's that there were too many people to see, too many games to play. There's no way we could get to everything that we wanted to do going into the weekend.
And it's really tough being a designer, right? Because, I mean, I had a table, too. It's really tough being able to get out and try other games.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I tried anybody else's game yesterday. Today I've tried, like, three.
Yeah. So it's about the same here. You know, and I think that there were a fair number of playtesters here last year. This year, especially on Saturday, this year there were a lot of playtesters, and so the designers didn't have to group together to play each other's games because we had people coming in just to play them.
Yeah.
So it was great to have a big audience. But the small downside to that is that, you know, we get to see and play the other designers' games not quite as often.
Right, right. And it, man, these people get great feedback, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. a lot of them were not designers. So I would always ask, so are you a designer here? Or are you, no, I'm just came to play games, yeah. you know? And, like, they have this awesome feedback, and that's really cool,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
to get that concentrated feedback. I don't know, were you guys, I'll be honest, I was a little burned out after day one. Now, you guys brought Cottage Industry today.
That's right.
I mean, this weekend. And, like, I brought my games, and after day one, I was like, I want to play some other games. I actually busted out an old game that hasn't been published yet that I was like, I'm just going to let people try this because I'm tired of playing the other games. Did you guys get a little burned out at all?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, Cottage Industry, it's a big box game.
Mm-hmm.
So each session, you know, plus rules explanation, plus feedback afterward, it takes up a big chunk of the day just for a single playthrough.
So what about an hour and a half or so with all that?
Gameplay is about 90 minutes.
Oh, okay. So wow. So about 2 hours then.
2 hours. With rules explanation, but then with feedback and everything, it went on a little bit longer.
Yep.
Cool. Yeah, I imagine. I mean, I was fortunate that my longest game was like 30 minutes, so it was about 45 in an hour if somebody really needed a lot of explanation and really wanted to give a lot of feedback. So, yeah, that's a lot of stamina you guys have to have. At least there's two of you, right? So if you needed yep. to take a break or something, you had two of you. So,
yes.
So that's good. Yeah, so you guys, compared to last year, I've heard there's a lot more people here, and it's a lot bigger mm-hmm. event.
It is. There's many more designers, more games, and much more playtesters.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Awesome. Cool. So, all in all, good thing. Glad you came.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, good. Oh, we love Unpub, and, you know, John had done such a good job with it last year, and Daryl is doing an amazing job this year. It's really, really good. Good con. I recommend all designers come here.
Yeah, I would too. It's really good for the community too. It's yeah. just great. So
absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys. So again, you guys are at Cardboard Edison on Twitter, right?
Yeah. That's right.
I thought I followed you for so long. Like you just forget like exactly the spelling. So yep. So it's at Cardboard Edison, and yeah. So thanks a lot, guys.
Anytime. Thanks for having us.
Hey guys, I'm here with Marcel Perro and Kurt Evans, a couple of designers who came into Unpub all the way from Vancouver, which makes Michigan look like not very far.
And that's Vancouver, Canada, not Washington.
Right, yes. Yes.
Just to delineate.
The extra hour and a half drive.
Yeah.
Nice. So, what game did you guys bring here?
We brought For Greed of Glory, a conspiratorial strategy game.
And yours was the game with the bullets for icons,
yep.
right?
We are the bullet game.
You had no problem getting those suit customs. That wasn't.
Yeah, no.
Originally, it was spent shotgun shells, and we were like, maybe we would have a problem with that.
Yeah.
That might be hard to ship.
So we got some plastic ones.
Got some dogs are like gunpowder.
Yeah.
Yep. So, so you guys happy with your trip here? You happy with the feedback and stuff you're getting?
It's been great. It's lit the fire again, right? Because we've had a lot of people play it. I think we had probably maybe 25 people play it this
year. Yeah.
Awesome. And it, so it was a constant rotation. My jaw is aching from explaining the rules. It was great just getting the feedback and having people say, "I want this game. Can I have this game now? Can I have this game now?" So.
Awesome. Yeah, and like, you know, the feedback that you're getting, it's any feedback that we got was only to, like, you know, like, I really like this game. This is, though, what I would do for differently. It was never like, you know,
this is pointless. Run away from it
right,
now.
Right.
Burn
yeah.
every.
So
yeah.
it was great that, you know, the reaction watching people who not only were like, you know, yeah, I saw this game, kind of curious, come in and play it. And then be like, whoa, okay, this is even better than I thought it may be. Or, you know, it's a game that I would play again.
Right, that's great. And you get a lot of the online submission forms back?
Yeah, I don't know how many because I've forgotten what our password is. So I have to wait till I get home when I'm
half
on.
Half an hour last night. Tick, tick, nope, tick, tick, nope.
Yeah.
I know that. I know that feeling. Luckily, I remembered what it was. But I'm always like, there's like four it could be. And try this, try that. Yeah, so I'm glad you guys have been getting good feedback.
Yeah, we're looking forward to see what the online stuff is as well. Cause
yeah. It's really cool. Daryl did a really good job.
People will tell something to your face, and then, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, then I think one of the most helpful things on that forum is, would you play this again, and would you buy this?
Yeah,
exactly. Because that's not something that people necessarily tell you in front of you. Like, I know I wouldn't play this again. If they will, they usually will say yes. But
yeah.
The buy this thing isn't usually something that comes up. I mean, unless you specifically ask, would you buy this? And I mean, asking that on the spot. Yeah. They're probably just
we do. Yeah. Do we, well, we had like we had a little survey we'd have people fill out before when we were way back in the early days, and those were actually two questions that were on there.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
Or, you know, would you play this game again? Would you buy it? And if yes, how much would you expect to pay for this?
And if no, do you have a friend that might want it for their birthday?
Yeah. We're trying to cover all our bases.
Right, that's
that.
Awesome.
But yeah, I mean, this
just planted the idea, you know?
Right, and it'd be a big box game. I take it from the board because that board is large.
Yeah, yes. It's a big box game. It's got a lot of components. There's a complexity to it for sure, and it's a 60 to 90 minute game. So you know, it's a commitment, and that's one of the challenges of actually getting it done, getting it out there into the world. Right?
We heard that from some other people too. That you know, when you've got especially even here, like 90 minute game.
For sure.
That's a big. You figure 90 minutes with explanation and feedback. You're looking at 2 hours for one session.
Yeah,
so that's you know, that can be a lot for just for getting people in. So it's awesome. We had 25 playtesters.
Well, it's the visual, right? It's the freaking bullets, man.
Yeah. Every time I walked past, at first I didn't realize it was you guys there. The first couple times I walked past, I was like, that looks so awesome.
Good.
There's just bullets everywhere. So.
Good. So hopefully that'll be awesome enough that people want to buy it and try it.
I'm sure it won't hurt.
It won't.
Cool. Well, and so are you guys trying to find a publisher?
Well, it's a question mark right now. I mean, we're open to that idea. Unfortunately, especially here, I think most of the publishers are very small and they're looking for smaller games that they can publish easily, right? We're looking for if this is to launch in a Kickstarter campaign, which is a very common route, and even with a publisher, you're going to get probably a $70,000 campaign needed for this game.
Right.
It's an expensive game.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a really big task to undertake.
Right. And it's a scary thing to look at. I mean, it's certainly doable. I mean,
People
are doing it all the time.
Yep. Yeah.
But you see that number. I mean, I did a Kickstarter campaign for $7,000, and we made it, but I was terrified the whole time. So imagine multiplying that by 10.
Yeah.
And it sounds very daunting, but if you've got the right game, I think it's totally possible.
Yeah. I mean, our two goals coming down here were either we find a publisher or we just generate enough interest in the game that if we do a Kickstarter campaign, we know that we're going to get it. And I think...
Right.
We can judge by the 25 people that played it, 23 people loved the game.
Right. That's good. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
that's good.
So, and of that, I think I had at least six people say, I want to buy one
this game
right now.
Yeah. That's awesome. It feels good when somebody says that about your prototype. Like, I would buy this now. I actually tried another designer's game and I told them if this was for sale, I would purchase this right now.
Yeah.
Without even thinking about
it.
I would
just
buy it.
That's the best compliment.
It's so good.
Yeah. We had a playtester go, I want to make a publishing company so I can publish
That's awesome.
The next is, can I make all the components, please?
Right. Sure. Because we don't want to make those pieces anymore.
And the nice thing, too, is when you've got when you get those couple dissenting views that it's not for them, that just tells you people are being honest.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Exactly.
The people are willing to say, not for me, you know? And you want that feedback because, let's face it, every game, and especially a game like that, it's so big, and even smaller games, too, everyone is not the target audience.
No.
You know what? There's also, the thing is those people giving negative comments, there may be something in there that you didn't think about that you end up fixing.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Like a problem that you've been trying to fix, and they somehow magically give you that fix.
Yep.
Or, you know, because I think that there have been some elements of the game that we've put in that are people who are like, I don't like your game.
Yeah, and as designers, you have an option of shutting off at that moment and saying, okay, you don't like my game, you're one of those people, fine.
Right.
And then moving on. Or you go, okay, why didn't you... What about the experience specifically did you not enjoy?
Right.
Or, better yet, is to really watch them play.
Yep.
And get a feed from their body.
Yeah,
and
the nonverbals
and
will tell
energy,
you a lot.
Absolutely, about how they feel about every single moment that is occurring to them.
Right.
And if you are pretty good at gauging that and you are willing to adjust for whatever you're reading, you can learn a lot.
And I'll tell you, there's nothing better as a designer here. I saw this happen a couple times with tests I was running where they sit down and you're explaining the rules and they're kind of, you can tell they're not really into it. And then a few turns in, you can tell that they are into it. Yeah. And it's like, we won them. Awesome, you know?
Yeah.
So, and then that tells you that maybe it's a little heavy on the front end, you know? And that needs to be a little easier, so.
Well, a big part of it is always how you explain the game.
Yep.
Like, teaching this game.
Yep.
And so.
And there's an art to that.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And you know, one thing we've been doing is trying to get that down, like trying to figure out the best way to do it.
Well, so the best way to get it down is to do it to 25 people.
Yeah. Well, no, not only that, but just to get them playing, like, right away, you know?
Yep.
Like, let's start a turn, let's see how it feels, and I'll explain the rest as we go. Boom.
Yep.
The question is, how do you do that in a rule book? And then, how you know...
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Right. So, well, cool, guys. Thank you so much. I'm so glad you came here. I'm glad we could sit down and talk to you. So.
Yeah, thanks.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Cool, thanks.
Hey.
Hey, everybody. I'm here with Daniel Solis, who's a veteran of Unpub, having been here last year and back again this year with several games that you brought. The River Ancient, I believe, is your big one that you were promoting, right?
It is the big one, yes.
So, it's been going well?
Yeah. It's kind of a new experience for me because I normally do small card games.
Right, right.
And so this is a big Euro game. And
I noticed at your table, I was like, this looks different than what I normally see you working on.
Yeah. So I'm kind of, I guess what I usually work on is tiny little card games, and I've been very fortunate to live in a place where I can have a lot of testers to do those little card games, but I wanted to do something different for Unpub because, you know, it's a devoted audience.
Right.
You get a chance to play multiple times over the course of a weekend. It's very fantastic. I had such a great experience last year that I wanted to do something really unusual and test myself a bit. So, yeah, I'm trying to do this big, like, modular tile Euro dice placement resource management game that's kind of a odd duck for me, but
I figured, what the heck? Yeah. I mean, that's a really good point, that this is a really good place to stretch your legs because you've got so many dedicated testers, and even in the evenings, you've got designers who are definitely interested in trying stuff out and giving feedback, so
yeah
that's awesome. I didn't think about it that way, but that's a really good idea to try and do something a little different.
Yeah.
So you did a playtest last night for Troll's Dilemma, you said?
Yeah.
And I know you were asking for, like, upwards of 25 people. How many did you actually have in the test?
It was about 25 people.
Oh, wow.
That was 25 max, just because that's how many bits and pieces that I had available for them to play.
And that was the absolute first real playtest you've done with
them? I've done playtests with larger, with smaller groups, I should say.
Okay.
Rather. So I've done tests with 6 players, like 10 players, 15 players, but I really wanted to test to see how big it could scale.
Right.
That's what I went with. I just had enough, like, Dixie cups and poker chips and popsicle sticks to go for 25 players
awesome.
For about 5 rounds. And that was great. It's kind of, I think the only hang-up is that it just has the word dilemma in it, and it's not so much a prisoner's dilemma game, so much as a sexy time mega dance. Oh my god.
Scott King is currently dancing in the background. Wow. And I also saw you entered the Dice Hate Me 54 Card Challenge.
I did.
And I saw Penny Farthing Catapult.
Is
that what it's called? Yeah. And I'd seen pictures of it online from you testing it, so I got to see it today in action. You were playing it with some people.
Yeah.
It looks like a lot of fun. There was, like, instruments and stuff that were...
Yeah, so the premise of the game is that English aristocrats are partaking in the time-honored tradition of dueling with old-timey bicycles rigged up to catapults, launching their wealth at each other. So, you're launching art and statuary and all sorts of stuff at each other. And so, the basic idea is that you're launching all these items, and it's on a circular track. So and because these things are so rickety, they have no brakes. And so the basic idea is that you launch these things a certain number of distance, and because the catapults are so rickety and they have no brakes, your catapult actually moves backwards the same distance that you launched.
Nice.
So that's the only way to move your catapult, is to launch in the opposite direction.
Launch something and push yourself in the
exactly.
opposite direction.
And it's a circular track.
That's fantastic.
It's a circular track, so you're, like, moving around in a corner, back and around all the time.
Oh, that's great.
It's great. And so basically it's you're just launching stuff. You're trying to hit certain spots so you can claim the card that is on that spot.
Okay, you're trying to hit the spots?
You're trying to hit spots.
So you're moving yourself backwards to try and target, basically.
Yeah, basically what happens is you launch a thing from your hand. It hits a spot. You take the card that's on the spot, and that the card that you hit goes into a collection that's in your tableau.
Okay.
The card that you launched goes into the track. And becomes available for other people to hit.
I see. Oh, that's awesome.
So it's kind of a trading game, but with a really silly theme.
Really odd twist.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So it's got, like, Newtonian physics and, like, it's weird.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So Yeah, so obviously this year's Unpub, much, much bigger, I've been told, than last year's. This is my first year, so. But yeah, so you've had lots of playtesters?
Yeah. Assume, for everything? Let's see. I mean, so the just for the River Ancient, for having 2 to 4 players and taking an hour, I still managed to get like at least 15 playtests.
That's awesome.
Over the course of the whole weekend. And each time was good feedback that I used to iterate and iterate. So. It was kind of a crucible. The game that I had when it came in is a very different game than that I have right now.
Yeah, you know? I experienced the same thing with having so many playtesters. The feedback was just amazing. Yeah. Like, we couldn't have asked for better people giving feedback here.
Oh, it was amazing stuff. And a wide variety, too.
Yeah. I mean, there were all sorts of different gamer-type people here looking for different games, you know. And
very
so that
much
was,
so.
Was awesome.
One of my favorite experiences was playing Penny Farthing Catapult with Scott King's family, actually.
Yes,
Three generations of women. Girl, mom, grandma. It was fantastic.
Yeah, they were fantastic. I actually got them to play my rapping game.
Oh, nice.
And it was at first they were like, and then as soon as they started playing, they really got into it.
Awesome. So that's great.
Yeah, it was they're really good. And that's I saw them playing tons of games. Jason Gutarski has that Sundown Shuffle, and they really like that too. It's dice rolling speed game, and so it's been cool to see the diversity of people. So
yeah, it's great.
Cool. Well, thank you again for talking to us for a minute, and glad you had a great Unpub.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. All right, guys. Hey, I'm here with Gerald Lauder at Unpub 4 to talk about things that are going on with Unpub 4. It's Sunday now, so we've gotten through the big Saturday.
Yeah, this kind of makes it a post-wrap-up.
Yeah,
it almost post-wrap-up
feels
show.
It does. It almost feels like a wrap-up. It's been really fun. This is my first Unpub. But it's just been great. There's so many people here, and the location is awesome. The staff here has been really awesome.
Yeah.
The first night at the pizza place was great. The swag bags were awesome. Lots of fun stuff in there.
That was a lot of work.
Yeah, I bet it was.
It was very rewarding. I really liked it.
You guys have been giving away tons of games, which is just awesome. I'm assuming you're happy with how things have been going?
I'm incredibly happy. Yes, I'm very happy. I don't want to sound, you know, arrogant that's like, oh, it was amazing, it was perfect, it was everything I wanted it to be. I mean, yes, there were hiccups, but to me, no one noticed the hiccups, and so to me, that's success.
Right, yeah, I sure didn't.
This is my first time I've taken it over. So there was a lot of hurdles I had to jump. There was a lot of things that I failed to do personally, but it's, as someone told me, a friend of mine told me, it's like, I can't be upset about that because that was a free education, more or less. It's like, okay, I failed to do this. I know why I failed to do this. So next year, I won't be failing to do that.
Right.
Like, I know what I have to do. And so, you know, I've been making a list this whole time since the start of January of things I've done, things I wanted to do, things I couldn't do, and things that I shouldn't do.
Right.
And the list is constantly, I mean, through just these 4 days, or 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and today, the list has been in flux. So, you know, all in all, yes, I'm very happy. Long answer, but yes,
right.
I'm very happy with how it's going. I've heard a lot of positive feedback, and so that's good. It makes me feel all warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, and I've heard, I mean, from playtesters and designers, I've heard only good things about, you know, them enjoying what they're doing here. And the tickets with the raffles for the playtesters, I don't know if that's new this year.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I can say for myself that I've gotten twice to three times as much feedback as I expected to get written. I mean, you know, with playtesters, of course, I expect to hear feedback right away, but that extra written feedback, because they're sometimes willing to say things they're not willing to.
Yep.
Plus, you know, kind of their gut reaction of, would I play this again? Would I buy this? You know, that having all that is just so helpful. And it's been really sweet that we just have the iPads, so people just put it right into the website, and, you know, it'll be cool. I'll do a playtest, and 30 minutes later, I'll get 4 emails from feedback.
But next year, that's going to be streamlined even more. I was supposed to have I was planning on having an iOS app, app for both, you know, the iPhone and the Android phones, because that's 95% of all phones now.
Right.
But unfortunately, that's one of the failures, unfortunately, for this year. But I'm going to be talking to the developer, and we're going to continue working that. And I'm hoping, I will have it by Origins.
Awesome.
So I'm probably at Origins, and it will definitely be there. And then we'll be road testing it and making updates and all that. So when Unpub 5 rolls around, we have a perfected, amazing, awesome app that everyone's already been using and already is already used to. And that way I can get feedback from the designers and playtesters, like, hey, we should add this and that, and, you know, tweak this. And so by Unpub 5, we're happy with the app. Everything's going to be easier for feedback. You can do it right at the table. And then I'll have a notification sent at registration to know who put in submissions. So we don't have to so much do tickets. We don't have to so much do tickets as we'll have a list of people that submitted, and we can just pull names randomly from that.
Right. That's a great idea.
And obviously, it's the same kind of thing. The more feedback you do, the more names you're the more times your name's entered in. The downside to the raffle ticket thing that we've been doing is that the designers have been playing so much and showing their game off so much that they're not getting drawn for as much.
Right.
And so that's one thing that I'm like, okay, I need to fix that for next year. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying the designers and playtesters should be equal, because the playtester feedback is invaluable to you.
The designers are getting a reward no matter what.
Correct, correct. But something needs to balance out. And there's, I will say, it's coming up on 2:30. And 2.5 hours, there is a designer-only drawing. And I'm not going to say what that is, so you can add that to your podcast later.
Cool.
But there will be a designer-only drawing at 5 o'clock, and that's going to be something everyone's going to be talking about. So
awesome. That's great. Yeah, man, this has been, like I said, this is my first experience, I knew you were new taking it over this year, so we had no idea, I had no idea what to expect in general, and also no idea, because I knew you were, from emails we had, I knew you were saying you were trying to change some stuff up, and it's just been so much fun. Absolutely worth the 11-hour drive to get here, so...
No flying?
No, I'm a little jealous of Matt Riddle and Ben Pinchback when they said to me, oh, we got to go, we're flying, and they live about 2 hours from me.
Yeah, so. It was like a $210 flight round trip. I'm like, that's an amazing price.
Yeah, thinking about it that way, like, it probably would have been more, because, I mean, with the room, extra room night, because we paid for an extra night to come down here.
Yeah.
I might fly next time.
Yeah.
What makes me mad is my wife had suggested, you could always just fly.
Well, I will say... in February, we will be announcing where Unpub 5 will be. We are moving out of Delaware.
Okay.
Delaware has been our home for all 4 years. I live in Delaware. So it's a little painful to move out, because you're like, it's home. It's where it started. And it's kind of been the pulse. And the amount of people that we've pulled in being in Delaware, a state with no airport,
right,
has been astonishing. This year, the first day... I think we beat attendance for the entire weekend last year.
Wow.
And I think the total attendance with yesterday and today, and I'm not sure, I need to verify numbers, but it's looking like this weekend has topped all years combined.
Wow.
So I'm incredibly excited about the turnout from playtesters and just how enthusiastic everybody is.
Yeah, I mean, don't have to... It's not like, you think of being at a con, you have to sell your game. Like, hey, come play my game. No, I mean, people just walk up. I would be sitting there not prepared to play test, like not prepared to demo something, so I was doing something, and people would still walk up and ask, like, can I play your game? So that's awesome.
We will be moving to a city with an airport and free shuttle from the airport and the whole thing. So it will be a hub that everyone can get to. I'm trying to keep costs as low as possible for everyone involved. But obviously with the move, we have to, costs, things are going to go up a little bit.
Of course.
But I have to look at it as from me attending as both a designer and a publisher, would I pay for that? And if I have to question it, it's too high. Period. Right.
Certainly the current cost, was no question. I mean, it's...
Yeah, thanks.
It's a steal for what we're getting.
And that was... And this was a questionable number. I was like, is it... Maybe let's just see what happens. And then the fact that it sold out in less than 4 days, and then I opened up 10 more tables and those sold out in an hour. Right. I'm like, okay, demand is high. Price can go up just a wee bit.
Yeah. So. Well, and I mean, there's no reason not to. I mean, it's not like you're trying to make a profit here. You're just trying to pay for everything.
Not at all.
And be able to give some stuff away.
Correct.
And keep everything. I know you're trying to keep it free for the playtesters.
Yeah. And the giveaways would not be possible without all the publishers that support Unpub. I mean, without their help, this would truly be... we'd still be in a church meeting room somewhere.
Right.
This was very cool.
And this the amount place of games has been great, too. The staff here and stuff have been really helpful. Yep. The food and stuff has been awesome to be able to just stay on site and eat.
Yep.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. So it needs to grow up. It needs to become an official con, and that's what Unpub 5 will be, the first, official con status. But I'm trying to keep the personable, friendly, hometown kind of feel that we've had the past 4 years. So everyone gets to network, everyone gets to see everybody, and I don't want to lose that. So
cool. Cool. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me, and thank you for doing what you do here.
Hey,
so.
Thank you, man.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming all the way from Michigan. Jeez. Yeah.
Glad to. Yeah. Very glad I did. So.
And actually, I'll see you in September then. We'll be having Unpub at Grand Con.
Yeah, and I'll absolutely be there. I live 45 minutes from there.
So, yeah, we'll have an official presence. So,
awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's our first year there, and my first year in Michigan.
Right.
Or first time in Michigan. So
September's not so bad. So,
yeah.
Luckily, we'll Grand Con's not in, like, January.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to be
I've
there.
Heard. So,
all right, thanks, man.
Yeah, thank you.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.